Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Something. Yeah, oh, man. All right. We got some Gators fans in the building. We got some Gators fans back there. All right. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all so much. Thank you. All right. All right. Go Gators. All right. Thank you guys so much. I'm glad some things never change. Amen. I'm glad some things never change. It is great to be here today, and amen. Amen. Give who a piggyback ride? Hey, did you say a piggyback or diggyback? I was just wondering there. All right, go. Good to see everybody here. I've been in the area for a week now. We got in last Saturday, and Sunday night I got to ride Division 14's night bus. And then Mikos texted me Monday and said if I wanted to ride a real man's night bus, it'd be Division 15. That's what he said. Like I said, some things never change, amen? Some things never change. All right. All right, very good. Some things just never change. Hey. It is good to see everybody here today. I know many of you from the different places we've traveled. And so good to see Brother Hallett. He and I were together 14 months ago to camp in Wisconsin and to see faithful people. I was just blessed to see Brother Stubblefield. He's been here 42 years. I say this respectfully. He started working here when I was 5 years old. Think about that. 42 years he's been at this college, and I appreciate his faithfulness. And well, God is good. Amen. I want to, on the subject of faithfulness, I saw the Frokies here. Been married 59 years, I believe he said. And that's just amazing. I just preached this week for Pastor Bill Clark in Bridgeview, Illinois, First Baptist Church. He's only 45 minutes from here on a good day. And I would strongly encourage some of you young men, especially if you're going to be a pastor, to spend some time with him before you graduate. He's been at the same church for 51 years. They give about $300,000 a year to missions. They send out millions of tracts a year. They're a missions-minded church. And they're right from downtown Chicago. And what a blessing it was to be with him from Sunday until last night. And then, of course, my family being here with us today, we're missing Grant. I know many of you know Grant. He stayed back and preached for me last night. Did a great job. I was proud of him for that. But praise the Lord for that. You know, I come here, Brother Froke, and I look out of this crowd, and I just think back to the days when my wife and I were sitting in this chapel. It's a lot different back then. It looks really good. I love what you've done with the place. Amen. And we had dreams. We had no idea where God would take us. And I just want to tell all the young people before we preach today to just dream big. Because no matter how big you dream, God's going to be bigger than your dreams. Sometimes I tell God, God, please help me with my dreams. Help me to dream so big that it scares me but makes you happy. And, you know, we just finished our new building at our church. I'll have been at our church 25 years this coming May. We have 50,000 square feet of new buildings on our property that's been built in 25 years, a brand new gymnasium. We just built 12 new classrooms, 4 offices, and a conference room. If you'd have told this old, if you'd have told this football jock at 17-year-old public school that wasn't even saved that I'd get to do and see the things that God has let me see and do, I'd have said, you're crazy. But God is always good. Man, God's got plans for y'all, man. Just stay at it. Don't quit. Don't go into all this liberal junk that's out there. I said, don't go into all this liberal junk that's out there. Don't go this recovering junk out there. Come on, man. Come on, man. I'm not recovering. I'm growing, amen. Thank God for that. Stay at it, man. Stay with the old King James Bible. Stay with it. Still works. I'm living proof of what this book can do with a dumb football jog, man. God is good, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Acts chapter 13 this morning, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there. It's always good to see Brother Nelson and Brother Mitchell again, and they're around my same age, and I love seeing longevity and faithfulness in people, and it's just so appreciate all of you young people being here today. How many are engaged? Would you raise your hand? How many of you are engaged? All right, three people, that's a blessing, amen. Got a lot of work to do here. How many of you wish you were engaged? How many of you wish you were engaged? All right. Well, the story I'm going to tell you is a true story, and I did not know I'd be preaching this at chapel, and I think you'll get this in just a second. I'll not be real long today, but if you would, if you'll stand real quickly and look at Acts chapter 13 with me, look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. And look at your neighbor and say, I can tell you forgot to shower. And look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad I don't look like you. Amen. All right. All right, look at me in Acts chapter 13. Let's look at verse number 21. Verse number 21, the Bible says this, and afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, now listen to this statement here, very familiar verse, but I want to introduce a concept to you today that I think will fire you up and keep you faithful till Jesus comes. I have found David, the son of Jesse. Let's read this next few words together. Ready? A man after mine own heart. Let's read it again. Ready? A man after mine own heart. And because of that, he makes this statement, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. You may be seated today. I don't know if Doc Cowling is here today. Is Doc Cowling here? Okay. And JoJo Moffat, I don't know if they're here, but it was late fall, early winter, 1995. My wife and I were college students here, and we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary this past July. And thankful for an incredible wife who has stood by me all these years. My best friend. My two J's are the reason I'm here today, my Jesus and my Janelle. And yeah, that's pretty good, huh? I should get a kiss for that later. Don't y'all think? I think I will. I think I will. Yeah. I got a license right here, okay? But it was late fall, early winter, 1995, and Mrs. Moffin and Doc Cowling pulled me aside and said, you ought to date this girl, Janelle Lewis. And Bill Shutt Jr. and I were very good friends. He pastors in Pennsylvania right now. We have a lot in common because we both have deaf parents. And Bill Shutt Jr. had checked out this Janelle Lewis and came to me and said, man, you're not going to believe it. She's a senior, but she does not have a ring on her finger. And that was a big deal back then. I don't know if y'all still play this game nowadays where if you talk to a girl more than 15 minutes, that's a date, and then you have the little box. You check the box. I like you, you like me. Then will you be my girlfriend? Then we're dating, and then I love you, and then you get engaged, all those steps you go through. But that's how it was back in the 90s here at Hiles Anderson College. And she didn't have a ring on, and so I began to consider the possibility of asking her out on a date. It was my second year here. She's just a little bit older than me, a year, 2 months, and 23 days. But anyway, she doesn't like me to bring that up. And it was January now of 1996, and I began to really consider. We started talking and becoming friends, and we'd stop at 14 minutes because we didn't want anybody to think we were dating yet and all that good stuff. And then all of a sudden, this weird thing started happening on my dorm floor. I lived right here in Malone 2, in the first room on the right. Who's Malone 2, guys? Brother Goodall is here. Brother Goodall is going to get a special crown in heaven for dealing with me and my buddies back in the 90s, Brother Goodall. I'll see to it. I'm going to ask God for that because you deserve it, brother. But there, all of a sudden, these little snacks started showing up on the door with these index cards with beautifully written Randy Dignan. Yeah. And there was always little snacks with them. There would be a drink with a snack, or maybe there would be a Mountain Dew with donuts. And my roommates loved it because I didn't like all the things whoever this person was giving to me. Now, I knew I had lots of admirers at that time. But I was curious as to who in the world, and every week like clockwork, it would show up. And I had a buddy back then, I had several friends. My brother was in college with me at the time. He's pastoring in Texas now. And we were trying to figure out who this was. And this person had some Mission Impossible skills because she was using different people to bring this snacks. And week in and week out, well, along came early March, maybe late February of 1996. And I asked her on our first date, and she said no. And I thought, oh, okay. You had your chance. Because I knew she liked me. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? Is she playing hard to get? Found out later that she had already committed to date some other guy that night. And she went back to her room and cried because she wanted to have a date with me. And by the way, along that time, she had been writing. At Christmas break, she had wrote my name in the dust of the piano for my mother-in-law's piano in Pennsylvania. And her sister said, who's that, Randy? And she said, the man I'm going to marry someday. Yeah. If my mother-in-law would have dusted, we would not be married right now. It's amazing that it's just little things like that. So I finally did ask her on a date, and it was March 27, 1996. We had our first date. It was Liberty Square back then. I had bought Fazoli's. There used to be a Fazoli's over there in that Walmart plaza. Yes, Fazoli's. And we had our first date, and I really liked her, and I think she liked me too. And so we had a second date, and I think it was the third date. I said, okay, we're starting to pick up some momentum now, so I've got to do something that's very important. I have to teach her how to throw a football. My brother can testify, my daughters can testify, you will not ever marry a Dignan unless you know how to throw a football. And you can't throw it like a girl or like a Hiles Anderson guy. I mean, you got to throw the football. Yeah, you heard me say that. Yeah. Go Gators, man. I like that flag back there. And so we had a date right outside here. In fact, we drove by a little while ago because it was a good memory. And I taught her how to throw football. And I bought a football, a little Nerf football or something. We were throwing it back and forth. And we sat down and ate our Whopper. Back then, you could get Whoppers for 99 cents and a bottle of Coke. And yeah, that's how old we were. But gas was 95 cents back then. I mean, back in the day. I rode a horse to work. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But we sat down and we were having such a good time, and I remember like it was yesterday. We were sitting on this picnic tables right by the lake, and I looked at her, and it dawned on me. I said, "It's you. It's you. You're the one that's been putting out the snacks and the cards on my door. You've been doing it." And boy, she got immediately embarrassed because she was afraid it might make her seem like a forward girl, but she had actually gotten counsel that it was a good idea, that even if I never paid her attention, she just wanted to be a blessing to the man that she thought she loved. And I still, my wife said, I asked her permission to tell this story. She said, oh boy, a lot of girls are going to try that tactic. Don't, or you'll get stuck with this, okay? You do not want to do that. But while she was embarrassed that day, stay with me now, listen to me, don't miss this truth now. While she was embarrassed that day and concerned about me thinking she forward, as I walked back to my dorm floor and got ready to go to work, up to that point in my life, I had only known one person who always pursued me and loved me, and that was my mom. My dad did sometimes. But I know he wanted to kill me sometimes too. But I said to myself, and the Lord laid on my heart and said, that girl, she wants me. She wants me. She's pursuing me. And it was like the Lord said, yeah, Randy, she wants you. And it wasn't long after that, I said, that's the girl I'm going to marry someday. And then I turned the tables on her and began to pursue her. In fact, it got pretty bad. There was a guy flirting with her one time, and this used to be up here. I used to be my chest, I got furniture disease, my chest falling into my drawers. But anyway, that's why I do cartwheels still. Hopefully gravity will pull it back the other direction and all that stuff, But I stopped that guy in the hallway. I was still a new Christian. I said, hey, buddy, if you ever sit that close to Janelle in church again, I'll rip your head off. Stay away from her. Yeah. I'm not saying that was right. In fact, she wasn't very happy that I did that. She came to me and she said, babe, I can't believe you did that. I said, do you want to date me or not? She goes, yes. I said, then that's the way I roll. But now don't miss this now. It really made an impact on me that this lady wanted me. And then I began to want her. And I know we got some hunters in here. And you know what it's like sometimes. You shoot that deer. Just because you hit that deer doesn't mean you're going to get that deer right away. Sometimes that deer's going to run for a while. And you've got to go in pursuit. Let me share with you a thought today here. Boy, I like this. This is cool. You can walk right out here on the front. I like this. Let me share with you a thought today. You like the shoes too, by the way? By the way, I wear a vest all the time now because I preach to deaf people all the time, and it frees my arms up and cartwheels and all that stuff. But I want to share with you a thought today. We've preached so many times that David was a man after God's own heart. And when we make that statement, I don't think it's an error, because we are implying that David was like God in his thought process and in his praise and in his attitude. But if you actually study this verse out, if you really look at this verse, that's not what God is saying here. He's saying he was a man after pursuing my own heart. And because he pursued the heart of God, he then became a man after God's own heart. Let me make a statement today that I think some of you will click with. God pursues everybody, but not everybody pursues God. Let me say it again. God pursues everybody, but not everybody pursues God. And one thing I love about David, and you can find it in the Psalms. You can find it from when he's a teenager writing Psalms. You can find it when he was an old man writing Psalms. One thing about David in his ups and his downs, and all of his successes and his failures, from giant killing to being an adulterer to all the mistakes he made to all the victories he had, one thing that was consistent is David said, I believe in God. I can look out to the skies. I can see the stars and the moon, and I can see how powerful and mighty this God is. And oh, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of a man that thou visitest him? And David was a man that pursued God. If you study the Gospels, it's interesting when you think about it, how Jesus paid extra attention to people that pursued him. He pursued many, but Zacchaeus climbed in a tree and Jesus said, I'm coming to your house one day. And Jesus walked one time and a throng was engulfing him, and he stopped and said, I must stop. Somebody touch me. And Peter said, there's crowds everywhere. And he said, no, somebody touch me. And he looked back, and a woman with the issue of blood crawled, did whatever she could just to grab the hem of his garment and that Jesus might heal her. Watch this now. Peter gets to preach in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 souls are saved. Why? Because Peter's the only one that got out of the boat. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. And Jesus said one word, come. Oh, yeah, he might have almost drowned. And yeah, Jesus had to save him. But Peter pursued Jesus Christ. Let me tell you one thing we're missing in Christianity today. We've become so blessed, so spoiled, so pampered because we have a God that always pursues us. He blesses us. He saved our soul. He forgives us of our sins. He blesses us with daily benefits. He's been so good to us. But very few Christians say, God, I'm going to turn the tables on you now. Thank you for putting the card out. Thank you for putting the snacks out. Thank you for daily surprising me. But today, I'm coming after you. God, I want to seek you. God, I'm hungry for you. God, I'm thirsty for you. Where are the people that are after God's heart today? Where are they? Let me give you three quick thoughts today and I'll be done. Number one, pursue that which is significant. Pursue that which is significant. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 9 with me real quickly. Go back, take your Bibles real quickly. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. We're doing great on time. I'll be done in just a few more minutes. Watch this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. As soon as Adam and Eve fell into sin, look what the Bible says what God did in Genesis 3, verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Did God really not know where Adam was? Help me now. Of course not. He knew exactly where Adam was. What he was asking is, where are you? We're supposed to meet right now. We've been pursuing each other every day in the cool of the day. I created this for you. I gave you a wife. I've blessed you. This is perfection. This is bliss. You have everything you need. And we're walking together. And Adam missed his appointment that day. You see, Adam learned that God pursued him, and Adam said, I'm going to pursue you, God. But the day he fell into sin, he stopped pursuing God. Let me tell you something. I've been pastoring for 25 years almost. I've been saved for 28 years. I failed God so many times. I've not always made my appointments like I should, but I can tell you what, every time I made that appointment, God was already waiting for me. I can tell you something today. The creator of this universe, he pursues me. He wants to know you. He wants to be close to you. He knows about your burdens. He knows what you've been through. He knows you come from a broken home. He knows about your past. He loves you.
He cares about you, and he's got plans for you. He's got exciting dreams for you. He wants to do some great things in your life. And when you realize that, when it dawns on you, you say to yourself, oh, my soul, God, he's significant. The things of God, they're significant. I want to pursue that which is significant today. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, my wife at that time, before we were even dating, decided, I'm going to pursue this man because I love him. She had decided that she loved me before we even had our first date. She always says she chases me until I caught her. Did I say it right that time? And 25 years later, we haven't had a perfect marriage, but I'm telling you what, hallelujah, it's good. And it can be. It can be. If you still pursue each other. You see, some of you got saved and you've gotten over it. You've forgotten that God reached down from heaven and plucked you out of that miry clay. Some of you got saved when you're 4, 5, 6 years old. You've never tasted alcohol. You ought to shout more than this 18-year-old boy that got saved. Hey, God's been so good to us. He didn't have to save us. I deserve to go to hell. I am lost and undone. I'm a wicked sinner. I'm wretched. Oh, hallelujah. But God loved me, and God cared for me, and God came to where I was, and God was interested in me, and God pursued me. And hallelujah, today I'm here to tell you, I'm going to keep pursuing him. And boy, on this journey, we've done some incredible things. I sit back sometimes and say, wow, I can't believe what you've done, God. He's so good. He's so good. But what happens when you begin to pursue that which is significant, you begin to see significant miracles. Number 2, the devil wants you to pursue that which is insignificant. Insignificant. You see, David in his day, surely there were other teenagers, other warriors, other soldiers that could have killed Goliath. But they were so obsessed with the insignificant. Now, don't get me wrong. We got to work. We got to support our families. Some of you may not be called to preach, and we need good, faithful church members. I'm for that. And some of you are going to maybe build a business, and I'm for that. Build a good business. Become a millionaire and give to the church. I'm for all that stuff. But in the midst of your pursuing other dreams sometimes on this earth, don't ever forget to stop pursuing God. Because when we begin to pursue that which is insignificant more than that which is significant, we start to get in trouble. We have to get back tonight because my son has a football game tomorrow night. My son plays for a homeschool football team. Grant, many of you know who he is. He's a senior this year, and he preached to me last night. This Friday night, if he wins, is it really significant? Actually, yes, it is. It's very significant. No, in the grand scheme of things, we understand that Patrick Mahomes winning a Super Bowl, Tom Brady's 7 rings don't really matter to a whole lot. And even Michael Jordan's 6 rings and LeBron. Where's LeBronda fans at? I know we got some LeBronda fans in here. Yeah, we got some LeBronda fans in here. Where are the Stephanie Curry fans at? Stephanie Curry? Yeah. Give me Jordan and the old school Barkley and Shaq and all them guys. That's what I'm talking about. But when you start to pursue that which is insignificant, your life becomes insignificant. Boy, all people talk about is Jordan's good old days, how he was an incredible basketball player. But Jordan's not doing a whole lot right now. You know why? Because you cannot ever compare that which is significant with that which is insignificant. And God in heaven wants some Christians today to seek him and pursue him and hunger for him and thirst for him. I'm telling you, I'm putting out a challenge now. I'm throwing it out here for you young men and you young ladies today. I'm looking for some people that'll say, I don't care if I have to crawl. I don't care if I have to run. I don't care if I have to jump. I don't care if I have to risk it all. I will pursue God. I will come after God. I will chase after him. I want to be a man after God's own heart. Pursue his heart. Number 1, you'll pursue that which is significant. Number 2, you'll pursue that which is insignificant. If you decide to pursue that which is significant, number 3, and I'm done, you will be different. You will be different. Think about this. Hundreds of years later, the book of Acts is being written, and this is God's testimony of David. God gave this testimony about David. You know why God gave this testimony about David? Because it meant a lot to him. Because as a young man, when David showed up on that battlefield that day, and that big giant came out to challenge God and mock the armies of Israel, David showed up that day and said, I'm not going to stand around while my God looks bad. We got a lot of Christians today making God look bad. We got a lot of Christians today making God not look like God. We need a generation of young people to make God look like God again. And while his brothers and King Saul and all those other guys were sitting on that hillside, scared to death, trembling, trembling because of this Goliath. And while they saw a giant out there, David had pursued the heart of God. And David said, while you're looking at that giant, I'm looking at a massive, even bigger God. Hallelujah. David came up to Saul and said, I'll take this man out. I'll fight him. They said, that's crazy. There's no way you can beat him. You're but a youth, and he a champion from his youth. And David, instead of taking that excuse, says, I'm going to give you some excuses. He goes, I'll give you two excuses. I killed a bear. I killed a lion, and I'll take care of that uncircumcised Philistine. And Saul said, good luck. Go with you. And David ran down and picked up five smooth stones. He said, I've been pursuing God. I talked to him this morning. I ain't worried about nothing. And he went on down to that valley, and he slung that rock. And he won a victory that day. And the whole nation heard about David. And he became king. And the Bible says Jesus sits on his throne. And Jesus comes down through his lineage. Wow, why? Because David was different. Amen. He was different. So the Bible says again in Acts chapter 13, verse number 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. A man after mine own heart. Now watch this. When you pursue God, you will fulfill all his will. What a testimony, Brother Mitchell. What a testimony, Brother Nelson and Brother Stubblefield. To think that David was so consumed with pursuing God that he said, it doesn't matter what God tells me to do, where he leads me to go, I will pursue him so that I might fulfill all his will. I've been pastoring the same church for almost 25 years. I've preached in many countries and traveled all over this country. I've preached in, I think, 40 states now out of the 50. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. Let me tell you one amazing thing. My brother Hallett and I were at camp together a year ago. Let me tell you one amazing thing about God. God is truly not a respecter of persons. And God is looking for somebody that'll pursue him. Oh, he pursues everybody. Boy, I thank God for that. Hey, can I just say real quickly how good it is to be saved again? Did I already cover that? Well, let me cover it again. I'm tired of our Baptists losing their shout over salvation. I'm tired of people not getting excited. Oh, it's easy to come in this chapel and shout. Why don't you shout when you're pastoring your church 2-3 years from now? Come on now. Hey, come on now. Let's get excited. There, that's where the carpet happened. Praise the Lord. Oh, there it is right there, okay? Hey. I'm talking about, let's get back to that shout. Let's get back to that excitement. Let's get back to that charge where we know God is on his throne. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Glory to God. You can put up whatever giant you want in front of me, whatever lion or bear. Bring them on. Me and God, we got this. Hallelujah. But you're going to have to pursue them. Which means sometimes you got to get up when nobody else is up. Which means you got to stay up when everybody else is asleep. Which means you got to pay a little bit of a price. Which means when you feel like everything's against you, you crawl like the woman with the issue of blood and grab that hem and say, Jesus, I need your virtue. I'm not letting go. Jacob's name wasn't turned to Israel until he pursued God. Jesus healed 10 lepers one time. Healed them. Let him cleanse, the Bible says. 9 left and went on their merry way. 1 came back, and Jesus made them whole. I'm just looking for a generation of young people today. A young man, a young woman, a preacher, a future missionary, a future evangelist. Whatever you plan to be someday, forget about all the titles. Forget about what you're going to be or what you think you're going to be or what you're going to build or what you're not going to build. I'm just looking for a young man or young lady today that'll say, you know what? God has pursued me. Today, I make a decision to pursue God. I will be a man, woman, after God's own heart. That I might be a man or woman after God's own heart. That I might be a man or woman which shall fulfill all his will. Kept looking at those cards. We still have them somewhere, don't we, baby? All those snacks. Man, who is doing this? And I found out it was her. I said, I'm turning the tables now on you. And 25 years later, I'm still pursuing that beauty queen right there. Ask my kids. My kids are like, Mom, Dad, they get embarrassed. Come on, Brother Froke, help me out right there, amen. Amen. My kids are like, Mom and Dad. I said, hey, you can leave the room. It ain't my problem. This is my house. I own this house. I own this house. I do what I want in my house. Hey, pursue God. Listen, listen, pursue God. Listen, don't miss this last statement. I'm done. Pursue God. He's waiting for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed today. Just looking for a generation of young people who will pursue God. Sorry, Senator, guys. First of all, are you sure you're saved? I saw 20-plus people get saved in chapel one time when I was a student here. Jeff Owens preached on Don't Go to Hell from Hiles Anderson College. Is everybody saved today? If you're not saved, God's pursuing you. He loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loves you. Now with their heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're not sure you're saved, you get that settled today. But I'm going to hush up. That's one of the reasons I don't like to preach real long. I love to see God do a great invitation right now. Just stay there today at the altar and just look to heaven and say, God, I'm coming for you. You've been so good to me. Man, God's been so good. So good. So good. Man, I can't believe he pursued me. I can't believe my baby pursued me. I pursued her, still pursuing, I pursue God. He's never failed in his pursuing of me. I failed in my pursuing of him, but I still strive. This morning, I tried to pursue him for a little while. You know what he told me? He said, Randy, everything's going to be okay. I'm in control. I'm on my throne, and I'm coming back soon. Young man, young woman, old man, old woman, pursue God.